Okay, let's open our Bibles again to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And as in the last session, we were looking at verse 11. We want to connect verse 12 a little bit to that. And then be encouraged perhaps in a few moments to get a couple of the brothers to maybe give some insight if you want to add to our study. But in verse 11, as we've been looking at this area of giftedness, we find particular areas of giftedness in 4:11 of Ephesians, as we looked at, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So we briefly looked at definition of those five areas and how that can be an encouragement to our hearts to serve if perhaps we are gifted in one of these areas. As I mentioned, there are other portions such as Romans 12 that help us understand more areas of giftedness and enablements. I'd like to read that in just a moment to see a little bit broader sense of what giftedness the Lord may have exercised you in. But as we see in connection with this, verse 12, we find purpose. We see the word for three times. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So we find before us that these gifted individuals can help in the maturing, or is the term here, perfecting, of the saints. Put a finger there, if you would, and just go forward to a page or two here to Philippians 1. Philippians 1. And we perhaps do well to remember from the Lord's perspective what he's doing in the saints. In 1 and 6, it tells us this, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we find that term perform or perfect. We find that the Lord is working in each of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And yet we go back to Ephesians and we see as we cooperate with what the Lord's doing, we are to be involved in the work of the Lord. So these gifted areas that are mentioned in verse 11 have the purpose, the Lord's purpose, is for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. And as we see as well, for the work of the ministry. Now, let's be clear that these gifted areas, these gifted men are not ones that do all of these things themselves and in and of it by themselves. Notice the flow here. As we see evangelists and pastors and teachers, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, you see, it's the saints that will be doing that. These gifted men will help encourage and bring along the saints to do the work of the ministry. Not that you just say, okay, here's someone that's gifted in this area, and we're just going to turn him loose, and he's going to do it all. No, the role of those that are in these areas, as we see the latter two, pastors and teachers, as well as evangelists and so on, are to help the saints mature, that the saints will do the work of the ministry as a whole. The body of Christ as a whole will do the work of the ministry. So here's an application. I'm going to go back to Exodus, actually, Old Testament, just for an application. Exodus 35. We think about in the days of the tabernacle, and we see the construction of the tabernacle and the furniture that's found in the tabernacle and the garments of the priest and the high priest and so on, and the various curtains and so on. You know, there had to be ones willing and able to prepare these things, to make these things. So we go back to 35 and 10. And we see, in every wise-hearted among you, he shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. The tabernacle, his tent, his covering, Tacit, and so on. So here we see the wise-hearted. Go across chapter 36, and we'll break in there. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. So again, we see those that were enabled, those that had a certain amount of wisdom and understanding, that they might know how to do the work. So when we think about these that were willing, those that were wise-hearted, did this wonderful work of preparing for the service of the tabernacle, preparing all of the material needs. And so, if you would, now go back to the New Testament and go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. One of the other portions that deal with spiritual enablements, spiritual gifts. As we come to this portion, I want to notice particularly verse 4 and 5. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So notice here, verse 5, difference of ministrations, or ministries, you might say. And yet, we also see verse 6, difference of operations. So there is a multitude of ways that we can see whatever giftedness that the Lord's given you that you can serve. It's not, again, just one manner, one method that can be done as an evangelist or a pastor shepherding, tending the flock, or a teacher, and so on. And that goes into other areas of service as well, but that's in the context of where we're studying. There are various ways of administering that, of exercising those gifts. Perhaps maybe some of the brothers could help give us some insight in a few minutes about areas that you found helpful as far as spreading the gospel or ministering to people's hearts or teaching others about the things of the Lord. So keep that in mind, perhaps. But as you think in terms of this, let's go back now to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And then we see the last of these three aspects of the word for the maturing or perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, but also for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edifying means edifice or to build up. You think of a building, to build something up. And so the body of Christ needs building up. That's such a true statement today. That the saints need to be encouraged, need to be built up, need to be equipped to do the work of the ministry in the previous phrase there. So we see that term edifying also in verse 16 and verse 29. Verse 16, just jumping ahead a little bit further, it says here, speaking the truth in love and so on. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see the body, the church of the living God, being built up in love. Verse 29 gives a very practical example of this. Verse 29 talks about the tongue. And here's a very practical way in Christian holiness, you might say. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So obviously, when we have difficulties with our tongue, when we are lashing out or using poor language or very harsh and critical to people, and this, you can go on and on. There's much about the tongue, Proverbs, the whole chapter 3 of James. There's much to say about the tongue and how we should carry ourselves as believers. And so, yet what it should be used for, the tongue, is the building up, the edifying of those that hear what we have to say. So there's just kind of a practical outworking of what it means to build up. So with this, I'm going to turn to Romans 12, if I've been alluding to. And there we can see more spiritual gifts and enablements. If you want to turn with me for a moment. Romans 12. It begins by reminding us that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. For this is our reasonable service. It should be that which is acceptable unto God. Verse 2 tells us to not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove that was is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Notice then, as you move down, we see of the one body. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And so we find several more aspects of giftedness in the body. Reading further, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So there's some very practical aspects of Christian living to tie in with serving the Lord. Perhaps you're here among us today and you are one that has an area of giftedness in giving. Now we're all told to give unto the things of the Lord, but some are particularly exercised and the Lord prepares them in a unique way. And that's a real area of giftedness, that they seek out ways to help people in need and so on. Perhaps you're gifted in the area of exhortation. You see, some of these gifts, you don't have to stand before a multitude of people and speak. You can exhort someone, encourage someone, come alongside of them. Such that role of a shepherd sometimes carries along that need of an exhortation and an encouragement that some brother or sister may need. And so we find here various ways to build up the body of Christ. Mercy, showing mercy with cheerfulness. You know, sometimes we're downtrodden, and a word and reminder of the mercy of God is what we need. And some just really seem to have a real heart for showing mercy to those around them. We see those that are exercised in helps, and as we see describing being given to hospitality later on in the text, what an area of service that is, helping those in need. You know, there are brothers that, you know, just show up at your door. They know you're moving across town, and they just show up with their truck, and they're going to help. They're going to have a reaching hand out to help you. And that's a way of encouraging and building up the body of Christ in hospitality. Having people in your homes, it's not something everybody may necessarily know about, but it's such a blessed ministry to be in someone's home and to feel like you're part of their family. I've received that from people in my travels so often, people that are so hospitable, and they reach out to the saints. So I would pray that we'd be encouraged as we think about giftedness a little bit and how in a diversity of ways we can exercise gift. So at this moment, again, I was going to kind of be short this morning on this second session, but I would like to give opportunity asking the question, do some of the brothers have experiences in areas that you see helpful in perhaps in evangelism, witnessing to people, or maybe in caring, tending, you know, reaching out, or maybe in way of teaching the word to someone? Try to narrow it down to those in the context of Ephesians, but maybe you have something beyond that. Then the brothers like to help.
I was thinking about Tom, who's a brother in our chapel. He is really a spearhead for doing the work of an evangelist. He goes to all the malls around Washington, and other people occasionally will join him, but he doesn't have a title. But that's his passion. I mean, that is really coming out of his heart for the lost and for, I think his studying in the Word, from knowing him over 4 or 5 years, I know that his heart, his ministry comes out of studying the Word intensely, and his burden for the lost comes out of his knowledge of God's Word. It just doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes out of that context.
Right.
In his heart for prayer. He's a prayer warrior too, so those two factors really drive him to take lead on evangelism.
It's encouraging, yeah. Yeah, I think of a brother in our home assembly. He's, I think, in his early 90s, and it's just like he seems to know, you know, as the city has grown, it used to be like a farm community more so, and it's got to be near the interstate. It's grown to be a pretty good size. But as it's grown, he seems to know, keeps knowing so many people in the community, and he rides his tractor around. He still takes care of like 100 cows. I mean, he walks with a cane to prayer meeting, but he's going to get on a tractor. But he's out in the restaurant. He's been a widow for like 30 years, widower for 30 years. He's out in the restaurants for basically every meal, and he's talking about the Lord Jesus. That's just where his heart is. And he's never, anyone I've known to stand up, now he'll lead the singing, and that's a tremendous help, but he's not going to get up and expound verse by verse. But he knows the people in the community, and he's just got a heart, and that's an example of the rest of us. I mean, when we have an outreach, people are coming, and it's like, oh yeah, I know Leo. Yeah, how'd you find out about this? Oh yeah, well, Leo told me. You know, so people like Donald and Leo give example to others that we might be encouraged to do it. Any other brothers? Good. Will?
You may remember Bill Price. So Bill Price was doing something similar to the farmer that you just mentioned. He would go around and talk to people in restaurants, and we often talk. He's in North Carolina right now, and or sometimes talk. And he would say that he goes out to a restaurant. Like, I asked him, he's a widower now, and I asked him how he's spending the day, and he said, I just go out to restaurants and being involved with the drug rehab center's ministry, where he would go around and talk to people. And I think he's a good example of outreaching, like the one-on-one outreach, which is tend to be very effective, that one-on-one conversation. You may not be preaching to 10, 15, 20, or 100 people, but it's the one-on-one. And that's similar to the ministry of Jesus. When he was on earth, he would have this one-on-one conversation. And we see many occasions where he talked to the Samaritan, just one-on-one conversation. And he talked to many other examples where he would do that one-on-one conversation. And I feel like it's driving this conversation in a way that is not really like arguing. And someone said, you cannot argue with someone to heaven. It's just a casual conversation, an honest and open and authentic conversation. And that's how the Lord himself carried himself with people, and how he gained people to the kingdom, is that one-on-one conversation. It can be sometimes intimidating, but it's at the end of the day, it's the Lord's work. It's not really, we think that we're doing His work, but no, He's doing His work through us. We're just the tools. So yeah, Bill Price was the one who found me actually to and brought me to this chapel. I worked in a grocery store, and he would come in and talk to me all the time. And one time he's like, "Hey, we have a Bible study in our house. Do you want to come over?" I said, "It's a little much to ask, but yeah, sure, why not? I'll come to your house." And I started going to the Friday night, and from there, we came to, got married, and we're still going to the Friday night only for years. And then after that, he invited me to, invited us, my wife and I, to the chapel here, and we started coming. And for the past 10 years at least, 8 to 10 years, we've been coming here. But yeah, so this is just an example of that one-on-one conversation. It doesn't have to be from a pulpit. You don't have to be a scholar to do it. But
your Friday night gatherings I've seen over the years in homes and such, it's an encouragement to see that and see people visit and people that get to know the saints through that. I've seen that other times, other places, but it seems like that's maybe an example of different methods, different ways of reaching out, showing hospitality, teaching. A lot of things can come out of a time of fellowship like that.
Yeah.
So I know one thing, whenever I was in my 20s, early 20s, when I was kind of getting my feet wet as far as, you know, trying to share the word, what have you, you know, the Lord exercised me to try to reach out and looking for opportunities, I put like a little classified ad. I know everybody's on the internet now, but back when the newspapers were still kind of a big thing, you know, a little small classified ad, free home Bible study. And it's amazing how many people would call you, and I could either mail them like an Emmaus course, or they'd say they'd be willing to meet with me. And so we met a lot of people, you know, to be able to just out of that one-on-one, you know, so there's all kinds of ways to try to be creative to either evangelize or to teach. Anyway, any of the other brothers got comment, input on that? Okay. Well, if not, I know the young people are probably going to continue on, but should we go ahead and give thanks for the food? Or
sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, again, thank you for this time, and thank you for the assembly here. Father, we pray for each home, each family, pray for the decisions that may be on the minds and hearts, Father, as we realize we all have challenges in our lives, but you know every issue. We pray for each home, each family. Think of those that are out of town traveling. Think of Bobby and his wife and kids and James, his family, and any others, Father. We just pray for them, safe return home. We pray for the other gatherings in the area, the saints we might know around about in Maryland and nearby here in Virginia. Just pray for them as well. But Father, at this time, we just thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you've provided for us this food, this time of fellowship together. So we just, again, thank you for your hand of provision. We do thank you in Christ's name. Amen.